Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to the talk show. I want to welcome you today. I know you had a wonderful week. We also did a wonderful week, and God is always good. This is Pastor Daniel Dodo from Africa, Kenya, and the music that I just played is a Swahili song that says, there's no any other person like God. There's no any other one like God. God can never be compared to anybody else. So that is why it says, Nani Kamawere. Nani Kamawere simply means there's no any other one like Yahweh. Well, thank you so much. And today we are going to continue with our series of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to significantly look at Holy Spirit in the church. We are going to talk about Holy Spirit in the church. Our reading today is going to come from the book of 1 Corinthians. We are reading from verse 1 up to verse 7. But the whole of that chapter would be our reference for today's message. So please tune with us. And I hope you'll be blessed. I'm reading the Word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you are pagans, you are led astray to the dumb idols. However,
you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. 6. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he will. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, if it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body, and if ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason and the less a part from the body. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to exalt you, we want to adore you, we want to lift your name even now, God. As we are going to speak, Father, about the Holy Spirit, we will invite you to lead us, to give us wisdom, wisdom of understanding. Give us a heart, Lord, to know more about your word and edify every spirit in us as a gift to manifest your will. Father, we thank you, bless your word, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've just read the book, the book of 1 Corinthians 12. I've read almost the all verses, but I stopped at verse around verse 16. So Paul is trying to say, and he's trying to talk to the Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is opening the words, you know, and now about the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about the gifts of Spirit, and he's trying to tell the church about the importance of these gifts of the Spirit. And we all have to be aware. As an introduction to this, let me say something here. We have many gifts. We have many gifts of the Spirit, and we also have these gifts separately. And I want to tell you that most of the people in the church, you find that somebody has a gift of prophecy. Another one would have a gift of miracle. You know, another person would have a different gift. However, these people, they all have to understand that the gift that they have are from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it happens a lot, even in African churches. I don't know where you are, but I see a lot of things happening. You find that someone has a given gift, just one gift, And this person becomes so, I would say, so big, you know, in the church. Like if it is so, if it is not him or her, then the church cannot continue. Like, for example, if this person has a gift of prophecy, for example, then the person becomes so important in the church, some of the churches, that he is like, you know, you cannot touch that person. You know, he thinks that he's even better than the pastor, he's even better than anybody else. Let's look at this. You know, when Paul was talking about the spiritual gifts, he was addressing the members of the church, not necessarily the pastor. You know, pastor can have one gift or two gifts, but the rest can have different gifts. But all these gifts are given for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. These gifts are given so that the church of God can function properly. Hallelujah. So when someone is having a gift, remember that that gift is just the same as other gifts. For example, somebody has a gift of, you know, like he has a gift of prophecy, for example. But someone has a gift of wisdom. Someone also have a gift of something else, you know. Like I have a gift of, God can even give you a gift of singing, you know. You have a gift, you know. When you stand to sing, the Holy Spirit, you know, just come inside. But that one does not mean that there is a lesser gift. The Holy Spirit does not give a lesser gift. And we have to understand, our brothers and sisters, that as long as we humble ourselves before God, then the gift that the Lord has given us through the Holy Spirit will work so good for the glory of God. Because all these gifts that we are given in the church are specifically for the function of the church. Like when we started, I talked about how the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can do to a believer. And I said, Holy Spirit empowers a believer. The Holy Spirit will give you strength to do the work of God. Amen. So it is so important when the Holy Spirit comes in person, then it gives gifts. So these gifts will stay with a person so that you would continue to do the work of the Lord. I've seen several cases in my ministry time. I've seen people whom God gave wonderful gifts to the church. You know, this person can sing so well. This person can play keyboard. This person can do wonderful things, you know, the gifts of, you know, wisdom and all this. And then all of a sudden, something happens. The person becomes so special, like he needs people to, you know, it's like he needs people to recognize him, you know, even the pastor, you know. You know, you need to sit somewhere special because he's the one who is running the church. He thinks that that gift, you know, like he can play piano, he can sing so well. And, you know, he's like looking for some favors from the past. And, you know, sometimes I see, you know, there was a case that I was, you know, I was listening to brother, you know, telling the pastor, you know, without me in the church, this church is going to fail. But something happened. The guy began to, you know, the guy just began to fall down. You know, he began to involve in other things, you know. And eventually, this gift just went away. And he could not even play a piano. He could not sing. So I was asking myself, now, then, what's happened? Now, I came to realize when I was studying about the gifts and the Holy Spirit, that everything that the Lord has given to us, the Lord give it so that we may work and edify Christ in our lives. So the giftings that are given to the church, that are given to everybody, so they would make you humble. Yes, you should be humble.
Because the Holy Spirit has trusted you to put a gift in you.
You know? And we also have to understand one thing. The difference between a gift, a spiritual gift, and a talent. And if you are following me on my previous on my previous teachings, I talked about it. You know, sometimes you may be having just a talent. So talent is different from a gift. So a talent is something that one is born with, you know, but a spiritual gift is given after one has been filled by the Holy Spirit. After you have been filled by the Holy Spirit, that is when you can get a spiritual gift. And so this spiritual gift is a way on how the Holy Spirit empower his people for the service. Amen? So now you understand between a spiritual gift and a talent. For example, somebody can, if you are playing piano in the church, somebody can just play piano because he has a talent to play. Yeah, for example, you went to school and learned about it, you know, something like that. Or you went to a music school and now you know how to sing. Would I say that is a gift from the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? But what I know that whatever you practice, you know, whatever you practice becomes a talent. But whatever is given freely from the Holy Spirit, when you have asked for the Holy Spirit to give you a gift, the Holy Spirit will give it to you, but with a condition. Immediately, you deviate from the will of God, the gift will go away, and nobody will, you know, nobody will be blessed. But when you stay in line with God, then that gift will continue to be powerful, and it will continue to touch more lives. Now, let us look at some of the things about the gifts, and we are going to look at ignorance, you know, about the ignorance of the church about the gifts. So we are going to look at things. Why are people ignorant about these gifts? The book that we have read has also talked about it. So let me just say in a summary about that before we go to number one as we continue. I'll say that the Apostle Paul, opening words of the book that we have read, 1 Corinthians 12:1, we look at how Paul opening words are. And let me just quote by saying, Paul was saying, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." The ignorance today is even greater than in Paul's day. Hallelujah. Yeah, because, you know, Paul begins by saying, "I do not want you to be uninformed." So when, not Peter, I'm sorry, Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth that, "I don't want you to be uninformed," that means that people are ignorant about these gifts, even today, you know. The Corinthians were ignorant too, as to the correct use of the spiritual gifts. They were ignorant. But today, Christians are not only ignorant of the use, but even of the existence of the spiritual gifts. So you look at the church, you know, we have so many gifts. But people are ignorant about these gifts, you know. That is why there's always quarreling. There's always, you know, who is who in the church, you know. People trying to find themselves in the church. But that is the first ignorance that we have to identify in our study. And also the church of Corinthians, well, they were also ignorant. That's why Paul was saying that these are things that exist. Church, we should wake up and pick up these things. We should not be ignorant about these gifts, you know. So let's look at the ignorance of the Corinthian Christians.
the ignorance, you know, we are analyzing the book that you have just read, 1 Corinthians 12. So, number one, let's look at the ignorance of the Corinthians Christians. Okay. These early believers were certainly not ignorant of the existence or availability of the spiritual gift. Earlier. Earlier Paul had said, I always thank my God for you. So meaning these people knew about these gifts, that you have been enriched. You see? You know? I always thank God. You know, Paul had said, I always thank my God for you. For you have been enriched in every way, so that you do not lack any spiritual gifts. That one you can read from the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm reading the book of 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 7. So before a certain period, Paul was congratulating these people, you know, at the beginning of that chapter. But later, it's like people forgot. And it's the same thing happening now in our churches. You know, you find the church sometimes become fire. You know, people are in fire for God. You know, people are praying. You know, people are doing evangelism. You know, you see the Spirit of God in the church. But all of a sudden, they become cold again. So you're asking yourself, then, what is happening in the church? You know, because people knew about their source of strength, which is the Holy Spirit and the giftings, but they began now to avoid using the gifts. Now they began now to avoid, you know, welcoming Spirit in their lives again, you know, because, you know, secrets, as I was studying about the Spirit of God, I came to realize that the Spirit of God has a condition. Yes, if you want to live with the Holy Spirit, you really have to make yourself ready. Because the Holy Spirit dwells, you know, like our dream of this Bible, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a place where there is sin. So if you want to live with the Holy Spirit, you have to avoid sin. Because even if you have been filled by the Holy Spirit, but you like being filled, the Holy Spirit will leave you. But I think the reason why Paul was telling these people that you have left, now I don't want to be ignorant about this, because maybe these people sinned, and now the gifts that they were given were not now, could not do the work. So that's why Paul was telling them like that. So the ignorance of the Corinthian Christians was one of the fundamentals that made them not to follow their giftings as God gave to them. Well, let's also see that the Corinthian church was well aware of and operated every gift of the Spirit, but they were greatly deficient in their understanding of the proper purpose and functioning of these gifts. Hence, the urgent instruction of the Apostle Paul on the two exercises and coordination of these gifts. He wanted them to retain these gifts and their spiritual experience, but also to add to those gifts knowledge and love and due regard for the glory of God and the comfort of the church. Hallelujah. You know, he just wanted them to get back on their feet again, you know, and reclaim these gifts again. Yeah, it is possible. Sometimes, you know, you have been functioning in the church. You have been doing wonderful things. But all of a sudden, you know, something happens, and now you are not able to. This is a very important. This is a very important thing for you now. Just like Paul wanted these people, you know, they wanted them to retain these gifts. You can retain them and their spiritual experience. And then, if you retain them, you can also be added some gifts of knowledge and love, which are very important. So we have seen the ignorance of the Corinthian Christians. Number two, let's look at the ignorance of present-day Christians. Many Christians today are almost completely unaware of even the earlier existence of spiritual gifts. Yes, they're unaware of even the earlier existence of spiritual gifts, and certainly are ignorant of their present availability.
This absence of the distinctive gifts of the Holy Spirit from the modern church causes many embarrassing inquiries. And so the leaders of the church are compelled to resort to many excuses to remove the challenge and significance of the three chapters under consideration. Hallelujah. And let's look at very interesting thing here again. Some of these objections are, let us look at these objections. Spiritual gifts, you know, let's look at this. These are objections that always happen. You know, people like, they need a scapegoat. Huh? And this is what they will say. They will say, spiritual gifts are no longer needed now that we have completed New Testament. Is it true that spiritual gifts are not really needed? No. I would say spiritual gifts were never intended to be substitute for the written word of God. And the early church at no time accorded these gifts such authority. Those early believers always referred back to their Old Testament scriptures for doctrinal authority. And that one, you can read the book of Acts 2 and 16 and 15, and also 15, 28, 23. So I've studied that and I've seen that they were referring back. Once do we hear of them appealing to the gifts of the Spirit to establish a particular doctrine. So somebody, I'm sorry to say this, but you know why we need spiritual gifts? You know, sometimes somebody has gone to college, biblical, Bible college, you know, you have learned, you have a lot of knowledge about doctrines and everything, you have learned so much, but that one does not substitute the spiritual gift. Let me tell you one thing. Sometimes you have gone to school, but unless you have been filled by the Holy Spirit and then obtained gifts from the Holy Spirit, even the knowledge that you have would just be a class knowledge, but it will not help you. So, brothers and sisters, if we say that spiritual gifts are no longer needed, now that we have a complete New Testament, we have gone to school, the spiritual gifts are needed, you know, like we have done this and that. No. And sometimes it's good, you know, it's good to go to school. I don't say for going to Bible schools, but no. Going to Bible schools are so good. You know, myself, I went to Bible school. And, you know, we have different Bible schools. The Bible schools that teach about good things, they teach about the Holy Spirit. They allow students to be filled by the Holy Spirit and they nurture people for the ministry. I love Bible school. But let us not take advantage of that because I've gone to Bible school and I've learned so many things. Now I don't think I need the word, but I need the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. You need the Holy Spirit because you can learn all things of the Holy Spirit in a class. But God will give you, when you get the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see new things and you'll begin to see new insights. Okay, let's continue. To look at B, the gifts of the Spirit ceased. This is another question that we have to look at. Did the gift of the Spirit cease at the close of the apostolic age? No. There is not one scripture which says these supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit were to continue only for such a limited duration. We believe the logical conclusion is that there are integral parts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That is, from Pentecost to the Second Advent, Jesus said that supernatural signs were to follow the preaching of the gospel in all the world and to all creation. And this, that one you can read from the book of Mark 15, 15, 18. And this was to continue to the very end of the age. That one, I got it from the book of Matthew 28, verse 20. We read also that God's gift and his call are irrevocable. That is Romans 11 and 29. And that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So if someone is saying that the gifts of the Spirit ceased at the close of the apostolic age, then that is not true. The same God that worked during apostolic age
is the same God that works even in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said that you will do more. Amen? You will do more exploits. You know, when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will do more than you did. So even now, people should do more than what Jesus did. But why is it that we are not seeing such powerful experiences like during the time of Jesus Christ? Because people are ignorant of what the spiritual gifts. They are there and they are ready to fill people. So what should we do? We should ask for these gifts. Let's also look at some people can also say, if it's available today, the great church leaders could have them. some people laugh like that. If these gifts were available today, the great church leaders would have them. Okay. Let me say that the basic principle in spiritual matters is always this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. God gives nothing to unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So even big churches, and sometimes it happens a lot in Africa, sometimes you go to a big, you know, there's a huge church, and you went there. If you go there, you find that instead of finding God, you know, that inflow of the Spirit of God, it is all entertainment. You know, they have these flashy things and everything is so entertaining. But why? They lack the Holy Spirit. They lack these things. They lack the Holy Spirit. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we should be independent. I'm not saying that having a big church or big mega churches are bad. No, they are great. They support the gospel and they support what they're doing. But some of the churches of the same category, they're just there, you know. They're just there. They don't have all these gifts, you know. They're just doing things the way they are. I'm not going to the big churches, even to the small churches. Some churches are just like that, you know. So what is important in this case is that we should always ask for the Holy Spirit to come. It is therefore possible for men and women to be very clear in their understanding and appropriation of many of the good things of the gospel. And yet,
welcome back again. I'm sorry for that disruption, and let us continue. We were continuing to talk about and trying to answer some of these questions, like if these gifts were available today, the great church leaders would have them. No, it is not necessarily that they would have them. That is why Paul was talking to the Church of Corinth, that you should be aware of these gifts, and you should be aware of their manifestation, and you need these gifts to come upon you. So if anybody want to have these gifts, the person must acquire them. So it's not necessarily that the big churches must have them, even the small churches. Wherever you are and whatever you want to do, it is necessary that you're going to call the gifting of the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that you may be great in doing the work of God. There's also a question that we wanna look at, which says, some people would say this: history proves that the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the apostle age. Admittedly, the gifts of the Spirit became less and less common with the passage of years. But for all that, even a casual examination of the relevant histories will show that in every age of the church, these gifts have been in evidence, and especially in times of revival. It is true that the exercise of spiritual gifts became rare things in the worship of the church, but certainly not because God had withdrawn them, but rather because of the apathy and unbelief of the church with regard to these gifts. Yes, you know, let me try to explain that one further. When people, the unbelieving, you know, people are, they don't want to look at these gifts. It will look like these gifts never existed. But I want to tell you that these gifts are there. These gifts are operational. And if one desires to have these gifts, then they will be given these gifts, and they will have these gifts ready for their own use. And it is very, very important to have the knowledge of the existence of these gifts. Let's continue. Let's also look at the nine gifts of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Spirit, it must be, let's say that it must first be said that these gifts are entirely supernatural in the origin. You know, something supernatural, you understand, it is something that comes without someone buying them or someone merited them. It is something that is supernatural. These gifts also that must be imparted by the Holy Spirit. So you have to understand that the spiritual gift must only be imparted by the Holy Spirit in answer to faith, or they will not be evident at all. So there's no way you can retain these gifts without being imparted by the Holy Spirit. But this one only happens by somebody who has believed Christ as Jesus, have been Christ as personal Savior, and has asked God to give or fulfill him by the Holy Spirit. These are the people that will retain them. They will not be. They are each a manifestation of the Spirit. So every gift is a manifestation of the Spirit dwelling in someone. And as such, they will work in harmony with the operations of the Father and the Son within the church. No manifestation of the Spirit will appear in opposition to the ministry and function of other members of the body of Christ. But every diverse gifts of the Spirit will work harmoniously to the benefit of the whole church. Now you understand what we talked about. These things will also work, it will work harmoniously to the benefit of the whole church. And if you see somebody is bragging because he has one gift, then I don't think that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, because the gift of the Holy Spirit will work in harmony for the benefit of the whole church. It appears, therefore, that while a degree of permanency may rest on some of these manifestations more than on others, we need to be careful in our attitude toward their bestowal. They are gifts in that they are given graciously as unmerited favors of God. But they are not gifts in the sense of being given to a believer as a conscious possession to be exercised at will. Mm-mm. These are not gifts given to believers so much as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through believers. No, they are spoken of as the working of the Holy Spirit, who divides these gifts among all believers according to the will and purpose of God. So, speaking before I go about speaking concerning the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, what Paul says, I just want to explain to us that for you to know that there is a Holy Spirit in the church, you will see people gifted differently, not talented. Gifted with the Holy Spirit, you will see manifestation, and these people will be working in harmony. But in a case where someone thinks that he's bigger than the other because he possesses a gift which is superior, then that is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit always reminds us to be in harmony. Let's see what Paul says about these nine gifts. And the book of 1 Corinthians that we read, chapter 12, 4 to 6. This is what Paul says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are differences, difference of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You know, that is why I said it is every church, every Christian must have the Holy Spirit. When there is a presence of the Holy Spirit, then the gifting will come. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, when the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, then there's no gifts. We will just be there, you know. Things, we just do things the way we do. People will not be moved. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, that is the benefit of the Holy Spirit. It will distribute all these gifts to people. And the church will begin to have fire. These three verses comprise the text upon which the apostle builds the remainder of his argument in this chapter. There are three headings. A, the Holy Spirit and different kinds of gifts. B, the Lord Jesus Christ and different kinds of service. C, the Father and different kinds of working. So let's see the Holy Spirit and different kinds of gifts. I would say that although the spiritual gifts, the gifts stem from the Holy Spirit and hence are entirely supernatural as far as their source is concerned, there are, of course, degrees to which human agency enters into the manifestation of these gifts. And this agency is more apparent in some gifts than in others. Yeah, we have really to understand that. Like human agents appear least of all in three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom, you know, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of the spirit. The purpose of these gifts is to bring revelation. Amen? To bring revelation. Their manifestation is to the believer, not to the believer. As the manifestation of these gifts does not require the use of any physical origin. Nothing is said about their control or exercise, and no correction is given concerning their use. Mm-hmm. So I would also say that more of human agents appear in the gifts of faith, healing, and miracles. These are gifts of power. They create a definite effect on men and circumstances. They appeal to the senses, even unbelievers being able to understand their manifestation. However, as these gifts are exercised in the connection with a specific ministry within the body of Christ, amen, hallelujah, no instruction given to their use, nor any entirely prevailed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Instruction given to the use for any conduct or to destroy the person or the minister of the gifts. So, like the gifts of faith, healing, and miracles. Oh, my goodness. People love them here in Africa. You know, when people see that you're able to, a miracle is able to have, you're able to do a miracle, everyone will be like, wow, this is the person I should be close to. Anyway, let us pray, you know, from like today we have seen about the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit in the church, the spiritual gifting. And I would say that let us desire to have the Holy Spirit with us. Anytime, please, let's ask for the Holy Spirit. Let us ask the Holy Spirit. Let us ask for these gifts, for the manifestation and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And these gifts, when they come into the church would be different. I just want to play this song a little bit as we are going to pray, as we finish our show today. You can contact me if you need any prayer or you need anything, any question, you can ask me through my email address. My email address is danielmidodo@yahoo.com. You can as well listen to this every time and every time, whatever you want. Welcome and God bless you as you hear this Swahili song saying, "He is... there's no any other person apart from Jesus Christ." Oh, thank you, Jesus. I pray, God, that you will give us this spiritual gift in our churches, that our churches would be restored back to your power and shall be led by the Spirit of God. I pray, Father, for those who are sick, those who are listening now, that may you go, Father, and touch their body. I pray for those who have different problems, oh, Jesus Christ, that you will go, Father, and heal those who are sick, those who have financial problems, oh, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father. I pray, Father, even today, Father, I pray that you will touch people, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will touch them in a special way. I pray that you will bless this soul again, oh God, that you'll bless this radio talk show, oh God, those people who are in charge of this. I pray that you will touch them, Father. I pray, Father, that everything that we are looking for will come to a reality. I pray that you'll give the church. I pray for the church in America. I pray for the church in Africa. I pray for the church across the world, that the revelation, Father, would come again, and we will be going to places, and we will be preaching your gospel, and people will be relieved. You know, people will come to you. Many souls will be converted to Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd uplift men of God, Father, hearing this. You'll uplift all the men of God across the world, oh God, to stay in your ways, oh God. Just to focus, oh God, as you give, that you lead them, oh God. I pray for all the churches that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to us. May God bless you. And I pray that we will meet again next week. Bye-bye, and be blessed. Thank you.